Chapter 17. Grant was on the phone later that afternoon when I hurried into his office. He lifted one hand in greeting.
"Yes, I know we'll have to get specifics from the state lab, but you've been in the business long enough to make a pretty good guess, and you say you saw none of the indications of a sudden heart attack."
He was making notes as they talked.
"So it had to be a poison since it worked so quickly. And if it was a poison, you think it may have been one that was made from a rare tropical root?"
He paused, then said,
"Yes, I'll check back with you tomorrow."
He replaced the phone, rose from his big leather chair, and came around the desk to sit beside me and take my hand. He was obviously very concerned.
"Darcy, Doc McCauley believes Eileen ingested some kind of poison that worked very quickly. He said he had only read about cases where the victim was poisoned like Eileen was. We're just guessing here, but until somebody confesses to killing her, and I don't think that's likely, I'm saying Eileen put that poison in your cup when you went to find the man who gave Tony the message. Then Tony accidentally swapped cups when somebody bumped him."
Sudden tears stung my eyes. I had just escaped death by a hair's breadth. I can't believe Eileen really meant to kill me. My voice sounded shaky to my own ears. What could she hope to gain by that? Didn't she know she couldn't get away with murder? He reached for my other hand.
"Let's assume she wanted you dead for reasons of her own, or maybe she didn't want you to die just to get sick. Doc McCauley said that this plant is volatile and sometimes reacts more violently on one person than it would on another. It looks like she and the bushy-haired guy, whose name, by the way, is Jude Melton, may have been working together.
Now, tell me exactly how you came to be having lunch with her. You didn't know her from before, did you?
Maybe from the time she was the dispatcher here in Grover's office, back when he was the sheriff? Or maybe even before that?"
I shook my head. "No, I never saw her before that day here in your office." I couldn't resist adding, "The day she hugged you and seemed so friendly?"
"Yes, well, believe it or not, that was the first time I'd seen her for quite a while, too."
"She phoned and wanted us to have lunch, Grant. She said we had something to talk about. She was already at Dilly's when I got there. The place was jam-packed. We both had coffee, but I didn't plan on actually eating. I couldn't imagine she'd have anything new to say since I thought she said it all when she came to the house. Just a few minutes after I sat down, Tony came and told me that a stranger at the front door had asked to speak privately to me, but when I reached the entryway, the man Tony described was not there. Tony said he had been busy, and all he remembered about the fellow was that he wore a cap and his hair stuck out all around it." Grant frowned and looked down at my hands.
"And then, right after you got back to your booth, somebody bumped into Tony and he knocked your coffee cups around."
My mouth felt dry. I didn't even want to remember how close I had come to drinking the poisoned coffee. I thought back to my first meeting with Eileen. I didn't like or trust her from the very beginning, you know, and her newfound friendliness by inviting me for lunch seemed false. Grant stood up, strode to the window behind his desk, and spoke with his back toward me.
"This meeting at Dilly's happened shortly after that guy from Tulsa stopped at your house and talked to your mom about buying some of her land that wasn't really for sale."
"Yes, his name was Stuart Wood." I dug in my handbag for the card he'd given us. Grant took the card and turned to his computer. After 5 minutes of pressing keys, he said,
"That's strange. I don't find any record of an Oklahoma company called Innovation Technology, but according to this card, it's located on Irwin Street in Tulsa."
He reached for the phone and punched in the number on the card. He listened, then replaced the receiver.
"And this confirms it. AT&T says this number has been disconnected."
So the guy didn't really represent a company, and he was lying. I rubbed my temples. My head ached from trying to make sense of the gun, marriage certificate, Eileen's death, and now it seemed that Innovation Technology was a front for some kind of scheme to grab my mother's land. Grant dropped into his desk chair and stared at a spot over my head. He raised his index finger.
Fact number one, these strange things seem to have begun when you and your mom started building your new house.
He lifted a second finger.
Cub found that very old gun with one bullet missing and the remains of an old marriage document in an abandoned well.
A third finger joined the first two,
and then Eileen suddenly puts in an appearance after an absence of 5 or 6 years and begins to make efforts to contact you and your mom with a rather unusual request that she needs to see you about something important.
Yes, it all seems to have started when Cub dug the foundation for our house. It's like Mom said, that package containing the gun and record is like Pandora's box. When we unwrapped it, trouble began. Whatever the gun and Bible page mean, they must be somehow connected with Eileen.
Grant nodded. Then, the clincher. It appears that she had a partner, and the reason she needed to see you was because she wanted to get rid of you or frighten you.
You mean the bushy-headed guy, that Jude Melton?
Uh-huh. And I'm betting that if her plot to kill you had succeeded, your mother would have been next.
My breath caught in my throat. Oh, no.
All this stuff can't be coincidental, Darcy. I don't like it at all. It appears to be tied to the land your mom owns. And we need to find out why that land is so important to Eileen and her companion.
He rose from his chair and went to a filing cabinet at the back of his office.
I'm going to contact somebody I know at the university and see if he can think of any reason why that piece of property might hold a secret we know nothing about.
I stood up. My legs felt shaky. I held on to the chair back until I was sure I could make it to the door without wobbling. And I'm going to go home and start some research into the background of the woman who apparently had every intention of sending me to the cemetery. As he held my coat for me, I said, Grant, I know personnel files are usually confidential, but this is an unusual situation. May I have a copy of whatever Eileen had in her file when she started working here as a dispatcher? He shook his head and shrugged. I loved the way his eyes crinkled, and he ran his hand through his short, cropped hair when he was perturbed.
Darcy, you know I can't do that. In the first place, I need those files here so I can refer to them.
And in the second place, that would be unethical?
Among other things.
He walked me to the door, his arm around my shoulders.
And I would like to keep a deputy at your house around the clock, beginning tomorrow.
Not necessary, Grant. He drew me into a tight hug.
Listen, Darcy, I can't stand the fact that I almost lost you. Now please go home and think about something else for a while. Maybe your house plans or that new school Miss Flora is building. I'm ordering you to let me handle this. Whatever or whoever is at the bottom of all this is a dangerous person.
Yes, Grant, I murmured obediently to his shirt pocket. I'll go home and just relax for a while. I snuggled against him, loving the feel of his arms around me. I had come home to Levi to find peace and healing after my husband's death. So far, I had not found much peace. Instead, danger seemed to dog my trail. Although peace eluded me, I had found a second chance at love with the sheriff of Ventress County. As it turned out, I did go home, but relaxing was not on my agenda. In fact, that cold night was one of the few times in my life I did not sleep at all. I spent the night alternately getting up to peer out the window and sitting down in front of my computer to search the internet for any information on the mysterious Eileen. Before the sun peeked over the hills to the east, I learned that Eileen Simmons had worked as a file clerk for a trucking company in Tulsa and a receptionist in a dentist's office before she was hired as dispatcher for Ventress County's previous sheriff. She currently owned a 5-year-old Chevy Tahoe and had 2 speeding citations in Oklahoma. She had never been married, and I could find no documentation of her birth. In fact, so far as I could determine in a sophisticated electronic search, the woman had not existed until the day she was hired by McLean Trucking in Tulsa. More pressing questions circled in my mind, including why any law enforcement office anywhere would hire her without a comprehensive background check. But a more pressing question at least in my mind, was what was so important about Granny Grace's land. Was Eileen in any way connected with Stuart Wood? It had been a while since I had explored the back acres of Granny Grace's land. Maybe I should take a little trip out there in the morning and see if I could find any reason why there was a sudden interest in buying that piece of property. Weather permitting, first thing tomorrow, that is just what I would do.